Today's readings from Philemon. There's much debate on how to say that in our house last night. First 1-7. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in our home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer, in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of Lord's people.
Well, good morning again. Thank you for making me welcome. Let me just pray for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Please help me to be clear in what I say, and please give us ears to hear your word and a heart to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a tight spot? Have you ever been on someone's bad side? And have you ever felt isolated in the situation? And it's tied your stomach in knots? Well, I have. And it was only recently. Money was tight. My health wasn't great. My prospects were slim. And I was far from home. I mention this because my circumstances are similar to a fellow that you'll be hearing about over the next couple of weeks. He's in a letter that Paul wrote, and Philemon, I'm in with the Philemon crowd, not the Philemon crowd. Philemon was the recipient. So in Philemon, Paul is talking one-on-one to a Christian friend, not like in his other letters where he's actually writing to groups. So it's got a more personal feel to it. It takes a bit of time to get to the fellow who's in hot water. Next week, Dan will be talking a bit more on the other of Paul's friends, whose name is Onesimus, although I've heard people pronounce it Onesimus. I'm going down as being correct with Onesimus. And he just happens to also be a slave in Philemon's household and the chap who was in the tight spot. Now, the occasion for this letter is that there is a dispute or difficulty that exists between Philemon and Onesimus. With Philemon being the master of the house and Onesimus being one of the slaves, you can no doubt guess a disagreement between master and slave would be very one-sided. If you were a slave in the first century, you didn't have a platform for grievances. You just tightened your belt and got on with it and were thankful that you hadn't received a beating or worse for your trouble. Which is why you can understand Onesimus is in a tight spot. In any case, we don't get any detail on the nature of the dispute, and I will not be talking any more about it here. But Paul is concerned enough to be writing a letter about it, and interestingly, Paul doesn't talk about Onesimus at all in my verses, but spends the entire portion of today's reading talking about Philemon himself. And he also unpacks for us some important truths about the Christian faith. So with that, and with the aid of my trusty clicker, let's jump into the passage. Loneliness and suffering are part of following Christ. So Paul begins with his customary greeting. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That first statement, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. So in almost all of Paul's letters, he names himself an apostle, not a prisoner. There are important reasons for Paul's reference to himself as a prisoner. First, it's intended to remind Philemon that to follow Jesus, there's a cost. For Paul, it was being a prisoner and all that involves: chains, filth, loneliness, and loss of physical liberty. It costs Paul personally to follow Jesus. And Paul wants Philemon to understand that if he's a fellow worker with Paul, he also will suffer for following Jesus. It may not be prison, but Paul is definitely preparing Philemon for challenges. And even though Paul's an apostle, Paul doesn't pull rank on Philemon. He wants to appeal to Philemon. Which brings us to our next point. Paul appeals to Philemon as an equal. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Philemon is named as a dear friend and fellow worker in verse 1. Clearly, Philemon and Paul have been friends in the past, and we know that Philemon came to know Christ as a result of Paul's ministry. Philemon is a fellow worker in ministry who hosts and leads a church in his home. Paul describes Philemon as a fellow labourer in the Lord. Not addressing Philemon as a subordinate, but as an equal, a comrade, a brother. Paul is saying, we're in this together, Philemon. So that's the kickoff. Paul's greeting sets the tone, workmates, in it together, and sufferers. So, let me just ask you, are you expecting any challenges? Are you expecting loneliness? Are you expecting suffering for following Jesus? We get to the heart of his passage in these next verses. Service of the saints is the mark of a Christian. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul has some high praise for Philemon here. He's thankful to God for Philemon's clear faith in Jesus and his love for all the Christians, that is, saints in his church. And Paul is praying for Philemon. Pastoral care is very important. And Paul is acknowledging Philemon, the congregation leader, as someone who's doing a good job. Now, I mentioned Philemon, the congregation leader. I've got another question for you. Is pastoral care just the responsibility of the church leader? Or is there a part for you and I to play? Pastoral care takes a number of forms. It can be a phone call, doing work for somebody who can't do it themselves, buying a friend a coffee and listening to them, or just good old hospitality. Now, we mentioned it today, didn't we? Hospitality. And I can tell you that in the last 9 months or so, I've been the guest in several families' homes whose fellowship and hospitality have been a warm ray of sunshine for both Lauren and I. Living an active Christian life highlights the good things we have in Christ. Let's have a look at verse 6. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. So Paul is praying here that Philemon's involvement is growing Philemon. Serving others grows me. God uses my service to benefit not only the people I help, but also to grow me into the person that God wants me to be. So while I read to my grandchildren and help them to learn how to read, it helps me to be a better storyteller. And while I share the gospel with someone, it builds my courage and my conviction. These things will put Philemon in a much better position to understand all of the good things that he and Paul and all Christians share freely in Christ. So Philemon's attitude to believers is important. They're important to God. They've been gathered by God at a price, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. A more costly ransom could not have been made. And so if they're important to God, then they need to be important to Philemon. Now let's pause for a moment. Could you bring to mind the good things that you share freely in Christ? I've been meeting for the last few months with a couple of men. We read the Bible, we pray once a fortnight, and I go away comforted. All of us having prayed for each other and understanding Scripture just that little bit better. Interestingly, a passage that I don't understand on my own becomes clearer when we tackle it together. And it highlights that promise from Jesus that when two or three gather together in Jesus' name, then he is with us. Paul wants Philemon to understand the good things we have in Christ. It's faith in Christ Jesus, prayer and thanksgiving, Christian fellowship, and proclamation of the gospel. Paul just calls all that partnering in the faith. These are things that all Christians need to make realities in their lives if they are to have a full understanding for every good thing we have in Christ. We need to be invested in obeying what God has commanded us to do. So, are you praying daily? Do you read your Bible so you know how to pray? So this is how you get to know God. You talk to him and he speaks back with his word. If someone asked you, what do Christians believe? Indeed, what do you believe? Could you tell them? Do you intentionally meet with other Christians to read the Bible and pray? Now, Paul wraps up in verse 7 by saying, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So, I'm going to ask it, how do you refresh the hearts of the saints? Well, Paul says it's through love. Paul says that Philemon's love gives him joy and encouragement because he is refreshing the hearts of the saints. And that word, refresh, it's a great word, isn't it? What does it mean to you? To me, it evokes images of cool water on a hot Townsville day. You could be parched, dry as a dust bowl, and I need a drink of water now. And along comes Philemon with his bucket and ladles, cool, cleansing water into your mouth, over your head, onto your face, down your neck. And you say, ah. How marvellous would it be to receive such a compliment like refreshing the hearts of the saints from Paul? To feel that joy that you first felt when you came to know Christ. So there's a kinship with being with the feeling invoked by refreshing the hearts of the saints. It would be a great joy to feel that. And Paul drives it home. People are important to God, so they should be important to me. Since I've been in Townsville, I've been refreshed myself. I've laughed and cried with brothers and sisters. I'm part of a Bible study with a large proportion of very young folk. And it's progressed from an awkward silence at the end of every question to good insights as members grow in confidence, knowledge, and conviction. I've seen people move from sorrow to joy. I've listened to someone sing passionately about his sideburns, proving to me that God gave us young people to lighten our hearts. How do we love people? We can try to get alongside them. We can invite them to our homes. We can listen to them and share our lives with them. We can serve them. It seems to me that it's not a difficult thing to start loving a saint. It's not really hard to draw ourselves out of ourselves and look to another and simply ask, "How was your day?" It's what Philemon did. Are you sharing your faith? Are you an active participant in the mission to save the people next door? Or the mate you watch footy with? Or the people with whom you work? Do you pray for them? Can we honestly not do that in light of what's been done for us? Have we hearkened to what we've learned and sought to share it with those who haven't heard? Or is that a job for someone else? You see, all of this is love in practice. So, to wrap up, we're all one in Christ. So the nature of this letter, of what we've read, it hasn't yet gotten to the heart of why Paul has written to Philemon. So far, it's really been about encouraging Philemon. Philemon is about to be challenged to do more, though. Paul is preparing Philemon for an appeal. The love that Philemon has freely given to Christian brothers is now to be extended to one called a slave and possibly a fugitive from Philemon's justice. Paul invites Philemon to a deeper understanding of what it implies to be all one in Christ. But Dan will tell you a bit more of that next week. See, the gospel changes lives. It challenged prevailing attitudes about what life was like in the kingdom. It took existing relationships in the ancient world and stood them on their head. It was a challenge to any in the newly established group of Christians to rethink all that had happened in their past lives in light of that new reality, one in Christ. As Paul's letter to the Colossians so aptly put it, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now you recall I mentioned a tight spot at the beginning of the talk. And just when things were at their darkest for Onesimus, a friend went into bat for him. It's a bit of a spoiler for next week, so hope Dan's not here. Paul went into bat for him and the outcome was better than he could have imagined. And for my situation, I'd been praying about it. Out of the blue, when I was in the midst of this tough time, two friends, neither one knowing the other, came up with a job offer and $1,000 to get me going. And I was appreciative of that. But as appreciative as I was of the gestures of both of my friends, there was no doubt in my mind who was behind that rescue. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that Philemon and Onesimus' story challenged the accepted norms of their time and place. May it change the way that we look at people. May this attitude of love shape our faith. May it turn our eyes outwards to others. We thank you that we have been freely accepted by you as members of your church and ultimately members of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that this has been done for us by Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.